humble yourself before your mother. You've got to bend down low, humble yourself before your mother. You've got to know what she knows, and we can lift each other up. Higher and higher we can lift each other up. Higher and higher, humble yourself before your sister. You've got to bend down low, humble yourself before your sister. You've got to know what she knows, and we can lift each other up. Higher and higher we can lift each other up. Humble yourself before your daughter. You've got to bend down low, humble yourself before your daughter. You've got to know what she knows, and we can lift each other up. Higher and higher we can lift each other up. Humble yourself before your family. You've got to bend down low, humble yourself before your family. You've got to know what they know, and we can lift each other up. Higher and higher we can lift each other up. Humble yourself before the ancestors. You've got to bend down low, humble yourself before the ancestors. We've got to know what they know. Yes, we can lift each other up. Higher and higher we can lift each other up. Higher and higher we can lift each other up. Higher and higher we can lift each other up. Humble yourself before your community. You've got to bend down low, humble yourself before your community. We've got to know what we know. Yes, we can lift each other up. Higher and higher we can lift each other up. Higher and higher we can lift each other up. Higher and higher we can lift each other up. Can lift each other up. Let's lift each other up.
Hello, and welcome to the Womb Centered Healing podcast and vlog. I'm Sama Morningstar, and I have with me here Elizabeth Claire DeLune. Thank you for joining me, Elizabeth. Today, we wanted to talk about the sister wound. This has been a topic that I feel very attuned to addressing and bringing our healing attention to. For my own personal and professional reasons, it's been very close to my heart. And as I was starting the you know, feeling the call to start this womb-centered healing temple online. And it was one of the first topics that I felt really called to call us together in sisterhood to address. And it's been something that I've gone through some potent healing processes around and continue to discover new new layers and levels and approaches to bring healing to this sister wound. And so Elizabeth, thank you so much for offering yourself in support of that in the temple space when I was calling out for others who wanted to hold this space of healing around the sister wound together so that we're not doing it alone, because it's about relationship, it's about sisterhood. So, you know, I could be up there on the mountain all by myself shouting about the sister wound, but until we actually get together in a circle and do it together, that's where the healing really happens. So thank you so much for joining me and for your sincere devotion to this healing in whatever ways that we find. Each of us, I feel, finds our own path and our own journey. And it's my intention that to be able to support through these interviews, through these sharing of each other's work, to support everyone in whatever part of their and whatever resonates for them. By sharing all of our differing perspectives and, you know, the wealth of experience that we have when we come together to share. So I thank you for participating in this with us. And so, we could start with you introducing yourself a little bit and sharing about your personal experience with the sister wound, how you recognize that in your life, how you have recognized it in the past, and we can get into some of the ways that you have brought medicine to those hurts.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be a part of the circle and to have this time and space to talk with you about the sister wound. This is also something that I didn't set out to heal it on my journey, but it ended up being one of the biggest pieces over the past year and a half that has been healed for me and has really provided, I feel, the foundation for other parts of my life to fall into place. So to introduce myself a little bit, as you said, I'm Elizabeth Claire DeLune, and I'm a love, relationship, and sexuality coach. I work with mothers in particular and really specialize in creating a space for mothers to have their full emotional expression. And in so doing, feel more alive and more joy and more connection in their life, and really bring pleasure and aliveness into their motherhood. Mm-hmm. And I set out to coach not around the sister wound. It's not my area of space holding per se, but it's something that has, as I mentioned, as I set out to work on my own relationship wounds, so sexual healing, relational healing wounds, that sister wound came in kind of alongside as this supportive piece. And I really feel that I've spent probably, how long has it been? Probably the last 17 or 18 years of my life, like alone, with no support really, on a deep level, or no space holding on a deep level. And I think of that as a lateral sister support, a community that sees you for who you are, that loves you for who you are, that cheerleads you and supports you. I haven't had that. And as I signed up to go down a deep path of sexual healing and relational healing, I entered into a program with Layla Martin, a coaching certification program where there were 200 women all going through these really deep transformational processes at the same time. And as we know, many of us know, to create deep, lasting transformation, one of the things you need is a community. You need those people who are there, who are helping you through the changes. Because so many of us get stuck when we're trying to make changes or transformation is at our doorstep and the people in our lives shut us down or they're afraid to see us in our new space or our new power or who we are. So if you have that community, like, you know, flanking you, saying like, yes, yes, go, go, you got this, I'm here for you. It's so important to really making those changes. So having this community of sisterhood through that program really like just blew me away. And I remember the thing that's popping into my head right now that I remember was one of the first times I really posted in our Facebook group, actually in our, you know, social media platform where everybody is, something pretty vulnerable, asking for support from my sisters. I got so many overwhelmingly beautiful, just these wonderful responses that I had never felt that from another woman, from a sister, from a colleague, these things that people were saying and the way that they saw me. I had so many replies and I couldn't even read them all at once. I had to like titrate the goodness. You know, we talk about titrating when we're healing, especially trauma healing. We talk about titrating the changes, which is just like taking little bits at a time because your body isn't used to it. And I could really feel that in that moment. Like I could really feel my body has no idea how to process all of this goodness and all of this support.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, I gained so much from going through this program and so much healing on a personal level. I didn't go into it in order to heal a sister wound, but that is hands down the biggest thing that I gained from it. The most consistent, feels like the biggest energetic change that happened for me was finding sisterhood for the very first time and what that means and how it can support me in my healing journey.
Wow. And, you know, I can so relate to that. And I'm imagining that other listeners may as well, because I had a very similar experience. Although I know that I was longing for sisterhood, and I could even articulate that I wanted to develop more female friendships. I had noticed sort of a lack of that in my life for quite a number of years. And then when I got involved in I don't know if it's a similar program, but similarly a training and a personal growth training process over the last several years, and actually was experiencing that kind of support and sisterhood that you talked about online. And then when I went to the first in-person event where here were 40 women coming together with a similar, you know, vision of healing, centered around the womb, actually, the womb. It was a womb awakening facilitator teacher training, and so here we all were, these sisters coming together to support each other through this deep transformational process centered around our feminine core, our feminine center. It was such a depth of sisterhood too, which it sounds like you experienced some of too in your training, that, you know, it was something I didn't realize that I was hungry for, like, you know, and why I hadn't really developed the, you know, satisfying, lasting female friendships, because I wanted that, you know, I wanted that kind of sisterhood that where we could really connect with what was our deep truth and share that. And, you know, I wanted a circle of sisters that would engage with me on all of those levels, emotionally and spiritually, in the depth of my expression and my being. And that's not super common. And I feel, you know, a lot of, you know, women's friendship circles and stuff that I've encountered, I'm not really interested in what a lot of people are interested in, you know, parties or, you know, fashion or cosmetics. I mean, I am sometimes. And in fact, some of my new sisters are like encouraging me, you know, get married. but they can also meet me in what I'm interested in as well, and totally go there as well. And so I felt met by this circle of sisters, and at the same time then more vulnerable, and some of the fears, you know, just as in romantic relationships or family relationships, it seems that, you know, in my experience, we run into, you spoke of trauma recovery, right? Old traumas that we still have residue and coping mechanisms around, emotional residue and coping mechanisms, and that try to keep us safe by limiting our intimacy and vulnerability with people. And I, you know, coming into that, experiencing that potential for greater fulfillment and satisfaction in my sister relationships, right, in the circle, made me keenly aware of, whoa, why I'd kind of kept that, hadn't really sought that out truly, you know, or kept those situations at arm's length, not gotten involved when I was exposed to them previously, because of the, you know, sort of hiding from or not wanting to get too close or not being ready to get too close to some of those vulnerabilities. And because when you really open up to people, just like, you know, just like in a romantic relationship or a family relationship, when we open up to our sisters and we have the capacity to bond and connect so deeply, then we become vulnerable to each other's, you know, shadow. And and there's a lot of unaddressed, unconscious shadow within women and sisterhood relationships. And that's why we're here for this call, to talk about that. And so so I wonder how you began, I mean, this moment of like, wow, sisterhood, circles, support from women. I didn't even know this was part of the main food groups I was supposed to be having in my life, right? Yeah. I didn't even know this. Yeah. Here it is. Oh, thank goodness. And then, boom, something happens, right? Some interaction occurs. All these emotions are there suddenly that seem a bit too big for the actual interaction that took place right now, right? Like you, like you go over the story and you're like, you know, all that happened was I said this and she said that. And
boy, why am I crying now?
Why am I having this huge, you know, emotional reaction? It was just a simple thing, right? And it doesn't make sense, but she obviously, it means a lot more to her than I thought, or wow, it means a lot more to me than, and I don't know why. And so, you know, then we start to look into that and discover baggage, right? I mean, we all know about relationship baggage with, you know, romantic relationships. Well, in these sisterhood friendships, we can bring just as much baggage that can become, something to examine and unpack and look at. So I'm curious, what are some of the items you've discovered in your sister wound baggage that you've had to unpack and integrate, you know, and understand about yourself and bring healing balm to?
Yeah. It's a great question. Two things are coming to mind. The first is a wound that relates to being seen. And it's not, I'm not sure how many people experience this exact wound. I usually hear people talking about the opposite, that they don't want to be seen or have a fear of being seen. But for me, it's very much a wound around not being seen. Like, I want to be seen how I am, for who I am, and the truth of who I am, not in other people's projections of me, or just totally ignored, right? Which was typically kind of my beginning experience. So having a sisterhood that really sees me. It was just, that was the first kind of interaction that blew me open. And like you said, I think a lot of times when we have developmental trauma or, are kind of missing a piece of development growing up, we don't even know what's available to us. And just like you said, I didn't even know that this was a thing, that this was possible. And not knowing what relationships could be like, caused me a lot of hardship, earlier on in life, just that ignorance. And so it's healing in this, the way that I am seen by external people, but it also heals my, the way I view reality, because it was this piece of reality that I was shut off from, and it made my world a little bit more illusory, right? I believed an illusion a little bit more deeply. And having that open up to me allows me to see more the truth of where I am and the truth of being in the world and the truth of being in my own skin. So that being seen was major, major. We also had a component.
Have a question about that particular piece, because you shared the part about sharing vulnerably in the circle and having all of these reflections back to you of how people saw you. Was that the main experience of being seen in a way that sort of busted up your illusion that nobody's ever going to recognize you or see who you are? Or did you have an even more powerful experience of that at some point?
I feel that it's similar, but it's like a spiral deepening. So we did have, it's a long program, it's a year long, and we did have a live component and came together, and there were specific practices we did, in that live component where we talked to people and how we saw them and what we saw in them. And just having that positive reflection back and forth, whether online or over video chat, which all of us, connect regularly online anyway, but also in person, that it's like a deepening and an affirmation of the repeated safety of being seen that way. It's like it's confirmed over and over again, which I think is important during the healing process, that consistency of a positive experience. But the other piece is, it's tied into the second thing I was going to say. So I could just transition.
Yes, please
that. I think I kind of answered your question as well, that in my relationship with women and as they deepened, a healing component for me was not feeling like anybody, like there was an expectation or like somebody was trying to get something from me. And this is a healing thing for me in romantic relationship as well. It's probably ring true for anybody who's had a past of like chronic coercion or, complex trauma. Often this pattern comes up. So if somebody can meet me in a space where they're just there to play, right? Or they're just there to relate, or they're there to talk. And even if it's deeper, right? It doesn't have to be play as in not deep or not meaningful, because I've had deeply meaningful, like just support and conversation and, hey, like I'm kind of freaking out right now. Can I call you? And they can hold that space. It's just a good space holding, I guess. They can hold that space for me and they know that they're there for me. And I don't feel like in that moment, they're trying to get something from me. And I can have that trusting relationship over and over again. Is just, I just can feel my whole body. It's like a sigh of relief for me. And that it's reciprocal and that I can then hold space for them. And I'm just there to connect for the pure delight and for the, of the connection. So that I think is the other piece that has come in around it. That's been the most, those are kind of the two pieces of shadow, right? That came up for the unintegrated pieces. Were related to those two loci.
Well, I love how you're sharing about this, Elizabeth, because you just said that you were talking about shadow, but you're only hinting at it. Like you are, what you're describing is the healing medicine, the light, the brightness of what we can bring. You know, what I heard you describe is that the things that were the most healing to you were being truly seen and appreciated for who you are, and then having interactions and comings together of that are all about just being together and sharing together, right? And nowhere there did you mention the shadow at all until the end, where you said, and the, you know, this is about the shadow. And I'm like, I didn't hear anything about shadow, but you did hint at the shadow, which would be the opposite of those things, right? Yeah. Where someone doesn't really see you for who you are, or meet you with some kind of an agenda, which you did mention a little bit, that the meeting with an agenda or a coercion is hinting at the shadow, that the wound that these practices that you found in your sister circle of coming together for the sheer joy of connecting and relating. And so that I wanted to acknowledge you for how you share about this, because that's very healing to me, because I can get spiraled into something that I'm starting to recognize more. It's one of my wounds of constantly being focused on what's wrong with the picture, right? And that's a useful ability to be able to even see, because we're often blinded by to what's actually going on. And so I've find that that's a phase in healing where you really kind of have to get clear on what's not working before you can even bring healing to it. And so the way you're sharing about focusing on what it is that you do want to cultivate and that you were hungry for that you didn't realize, and the experiences that gave you something new that was different from your shadow experiences from the past that were satisfying and healing, that's medicine for me right now. So I just wanted to acknowledge that intrinsic in how you're sharing about this, and that we can all receive that medicine right there. Because and that comes from my female lineage and my sister wound and mother-daughter wound that runs in my lineage of this constant sort of scrutiny of what's happening, and I'm learning and practicing to focus on what's not that, right? What is the medicine for that? What is what would unconditional love be like? What would coming together in appreciation of the gifts and beauty of another person, and celebration of those gifts and beauty, and feeding those with our attention more and more and more. And this is something I've been spiraling with for quite some time. So I really appreciate
celebration. Absolutely. Yeah. I think just want to highlight what you said about celebration, because I do think that's a really key component. That it has been for me. And that's what, you know, the container, you know, that, you know, again, Layla Martin and her team created for us, taught us how to celebrate each other. And then we just like ran with it. And it's so healing, because I think a lot of the way that the wounds are created is through separation, right? And through division, and creating the idea of competition, which comes from the idea of scarcity, which makes it really easy to control people, right? To make it, you know, if things are scarce, then it's really easy to create false competition, and then everybody's easy to control or manipulate in a certain way. So that celebratory component is just like, yes, yes, like go, that's amazing. you're doing so great. And I love being in your energy and I love hearing you celebrate your successes because I know that I can do it too. Like, I know that I can be in this positive thinking mindset, not positive thinking in like some fake dumb way, because I also love shadow work. And really, which I'll mention in a minute too. But being in the celebratory energy, upward moving celebratory energy, that's just present. It takes me in the vortex, right? But as well. And I love being in that. I am very familiar with the scrutiny that you have talked about and have that inheritance as well. And I think that it's like what I'm describing about the healing phases came after or concurrently with various phases of deep, like naked reflection of my wounds and seeing them. And having to, and being in a space of acceptance of them, of course, and then being able to move into the healing. And if I might share one other thing that I think was an important piece for me in healing that, and again, it's something that came up, it's not at the same time, but it's somehow concurrently with this, I feel that it helped heal a relational wound and both like romantic relational wound and a sisterhood relational wound, is that the habit of over-functioning that I think so many women have. And I know I had it, and it's glorified in our society to a degree, to be strong and independent and do things for yourself and you don't need anybody. And like that's definitely an inheritance that I have. And I can do those things and I am those things. But the shadow side of that is that there's no room for anybody else. And there's no room for me to depend on a sister or depend on a partner. And it's hard. It's scary. It's a scary one. It's a really scary one to heal, right? Because it's related to how I created safety for myself for so long, right? Is being in control and managing everything. And I am very capable. Women tend to have amazing complex nervous systems and we can hold so much. We can give so much and we can do so much and that's awesome. But allowing myself to step back and say, I'm just gonna take a step back and be over here and see what it's like to receive. And even if what I receive is somehow imperfect in the way my mind is judging it, I'm still going to stay back here because at this moment I can recognize it feels bad for me to reach out and like manage all of this. So if I can just stay seated back here and receive whatever is coming and just kind of be with that, it allows me to tune down those parts of my mind that maybe notice where it's imperfect and just trains me to be in the receiving. And that's important for partnership. And that's important for, you know, sisterhood as well. And I really think that, you know, it's so common, like you mentioned a couple of times, relational wounds with partnership or with family, mother, daughter, or children could also, I think this is relevant, or sisterhood. And so many times when we have wounds that were created relationally, they get healed relationally. And I just, you know, that's a huge thing that I have learned over the past year and a half.
And those relational healing processes really require us to try new things and take risks outside of our comfort zone. That's what's coming up for me when you share about all that. And I just want to share that, you know, this piece of what did you call it? Being over functional or something?
Over functioning. Over-functioning. Yeah, it's like a psychology term. It's like a over functioning. Yeah.
I can so relate to that because, you know, that was how I kept myself safe. And I'm hoping it must not be just you and I, you know? I mean, where we, you know, learn that, well, you know, probably from not having some of our needs met, you know, and having to early childhood be the caretakers for our parents or people who are supposed to be taking care of us. and hiding that part of us that needed to be cared for by others or you know, depended on others, hiding that vulnerability even from ourselves. I mean, that's my experience. So I've recently been discovering how I had hidden that part of myself away. And it feels quite frightening to come forward, you know, especially like, because as we're, you know, attempting to step into leadership, say in your coaching business or in my online womb healing temple, you know, we might be stepping into leadership in and creating our own circle. And coming into leadership from that vulnerable place, because the models of leadership that don't include that just don't work for me. Even if I try it, I'm not good at it. And so this place of not leading as in being in the front and everybody's following, but leading by modeling and in a circle with everyone sort of coming together, that circle model of sisterhood. And there's this feeling of being in leadership and that I'm supposed to be modeling the ideals that were, and the healing processes that were coming together. But then that, you know, that modeling also needs to include this important piece of sharing our vulnerability and sharing that we have needs and that we're relying on others and asking for the support of others, which in most like business coaching structures, you're not supposed to do that, right? You're not supposed to share with your, you know, with the students in your program or with the if you're the leader of the circle, you know, there's sort of a limit to how vulnerable you're supposed to be and share about your needs and receive support from the people that you're supposed to be supporting, right? So I wonder how you address that. Now, you know, I'm intersecting some of the things that we're talking about into you know, more these complex relationships where there's you know, leadership or teacher student as well as sisterhood, right? You know, because it's that adds another dimension of what we're talking about, you know, than if we're just colleagues or if we're just sisters in a circle and there's no one leader, right? But usually there's one person who's doing the work of calling the circle together, who's holding the space, who hosts it at their home all the time, and is, you know, in these women's circles, or, you know, say you creating your own circles, or say the teachers of your program that were holding the space for the whole circle. They have a different type of relationship, possibly, of leadership, and yet this value, this importance of that vulnerability and that interdependence. For them to have that kind of intimacy, I mean, how do we navigate that? You know, how do we navigate these different dynamics? Because the old model of the person who's running the program being the authority and not needing anyone in the group or getting their needs met elsewhere in a separate circle, okay, that could work, right? You have your colleagues who are all having their own circles and, you know, intersecting circles. But yeah, so I'm just sort of unpacking all of that. And I'm curious about your experiences with that as well, how you have navigated those different types of sister relationships.
You know, I really relate to what you're saying about the different types of relationships, and I do come from a traditional teaching background, and I think it's very different from the models that many of us are trying to create through like women's circles or the womb temple or through coaching programs. And it's part of the reason why I am attracted to it and just love it so much is because of the way it shifts relationships that you are not able to do, that traditional education being a very rigid structure is, I do not see, I've not had any success in changing that. Very, very rigid, very shut down. In my experience, maybe someone else can bust that open, but it's not, doesn't seem to be my gift. But so what I hear you saying as you talk about what you're seeking with it or what you've tried with it is leadership through connection. And I think that's something I'm absolutely on board with is, you know, you're leading. It's not like by example because, and it's not about authority in that sense. You know, being a space holder, but also having that leadership through connection. And that requires, as you brought up earlier, vulnerability. And I'm not sure about, you know, the most vulnerable moment ever, you know, to somebody in a circle or to somebody who's not a member of your team maybe, or is not a standard support person for you or a colleague. But what I've seen from the women leaders who I admire and look up to is that when they are vulnerable, it breaks something open in the group in this beautiful way, like in a breaking in a wonderful, a wonderful, you know, hatching egg or expansive way, right? So if like there's this hard shell around everybody and we're like in this space, when the leader or the organizer, the space holder is vulnerable, it cracks a little bit and we can expand a little bit more and people start to just be so inspired and to open up to vulnerability themselves. And it creates these ripples of change through that moment of sharing and vulnerability. And I think that's really a beautiful way to do it. And I completely agree that it's not the models of leadership we traditionally see in society. And I think we are seeing them more and more. However, in you know, the coaching field, the healing sectors, online communities, you know, schools, alternative schools, and things like that, we're seeing that more and more, and it's really beautiful in my experience.
You know, and it's interesting because you know, there's so many different ways we can be vulnerable. For example, you know, I can come to a friend or, you know, I can come to a friend who's not necessarily in one of my groups, who's just a girlfriend, and share with her about my vulnerability in a relationship with someone else, say with my husband, where I'm feeling like I might, I'm not certain about something, or there's feelings that I'm having that are frightening to me, and she can hold space for me. Then there's another layer of vulnerability I might have with that friend, which is that maybe she has done something or is behaving in a way or has said something that brought up feelings for me. And there's another layer of vulnerability. Like the first way, there's definitely going to be a greater bonding if she's able to hold space for me and support me in that way, and vice versa, if I'm able to support her, hold space for her when she's feeling vulnerable about something in a way that works for her. And then if there's some way that either of us needs to share, you know, something didn't work for us that the other one did, or feelings are coming up that we don't understand about that person, that's a whole nother level of vulnerability and can make or break a sister relationship like that. And as leaders, there's that same level of like, okay, what kind of vulnerability am I sharing here? You know, I mean, I can go into my groups and share, say, about a particular topic, say we're talking about sexual healing like we are this evening. I may share some of my vulnerable, reveal some of the things that I've gone through and the processes like that, and that would be helpful to the people in the group when I share about that. And then there's a whole other level of vulnerability with my group where that I'm just naming some of the hidden agreements in the leadership dynamic of like, look, I'm supporting you with all of this, and I need support from you in return. You know, there needs to be a sustainable, so asking for what we need of our, in our relationships, whether it's with a group that we're in leadership with, or in that sister friendship relationship, asking for what I need has been a stumbling block in a number of relationships where I've said, you know, look, when you say these types of things in this way, I feel this way. And it really doesn't work for me. And I need something different. Can you please do this or that instead? And to varying responses that I receive, you know, but it's ended some relationships to ask for something different than what people are giving. And so that's where it's vulnerable, because there might be things that I really love or you really love and that a person really loves about a relationship, but then you come up to a need where you need something different, and the person has free will to say, yes, I'll do my best to give that to you, or no, I can't. It's not in my capacities, even if I wanted to, or I don't even want to, you know. So that's a big vulnerability right there, is even expressing a need or a desire that involves the other person. And so I'm curious about your experiences of that.
Yeah, I guess that what I hear you saying also about that is it seems to me to be about boundaries, right? And articulating, right? This is what is okay with me, and this is not what's okay with me. And, you know, the what we talked about earlier about over-functioning has been something that has really helped me with that, right? Because it's like the over-functioning are like these tendrils, right, that go through the boundary, right? And it's like, but this, you know, but that, because it's trying to get your needs met and trying to create good things, but it also has this like grabby energy to it. That you know, violates what I think are healthy you know, boundaries that keep us contained within who we are as we move throughout the world. So the over-functioning makes it difficult to keep the healthy boundaries. Because it's, you're always extending yourself beyond like what your natural boundary would be. You're always like trying to manage and do this and control over here and control over there. And in my experience, it leads to those boundaries getting broken in ways that I didn't anticipate, or that I didn't realize that I didn't want to take on, right? So you take on more and you take on more and you take on more, and all of a sudden the whole burden of the relationship is on me, right? The whole burden of all of the emotions in the field are on me, because I've been like way, way, way out here. And if I bring it back in, right, everybody's allowed to move a little bit more freely. So, you know, I feel like that's kind of a universal good practice. And my philosophy is about, you know, if I'm functioning from a place of alignment with my, you know, truest self, and from a place of where I'm not triggered, where I've identified my responsibilities, and if I come to a person and that's not in alignment for them, that's not in agreement for them, then, you know, it's not a beneficial relationship for me anyway. You know, if it's one that's right, not going to respect my boundaries, or it's not going to ultimately have a healthy flow, right, of nourishment and support back and forth.
Right, like, right.
Yeah.
So getting clear about that, what the boundaries, what anybody's boundaries really are, and
yeah, of your own.
All right, beautiful.
Yeah, and I think it's so tied into what we've been talking about too, with like the reason we overfunction or we go beyond them has to do with those core wounds, or the vulnerability we don't want to experience, or the self-worth we don't feel, right? And so it's really getting down and doing that work, that inner work that ultimately repairs that.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, I have to tell you, Elizabeth, this conversation has been very therapeutic for me, so I appreciate it. I guess I shouldn't be surprised anymore that's the secret benefit that I'm receiving interviewing all of these beautiful people and about their work, is that I get to receive a little bit of that, a little taste of that medicine as we go. So I really appreciate you sharing all of this with me and with our listeners, who, if it's therapeutic for me, I'm sure it's going to be very enriching for the listeners as well. And so please share with us, if anyone wants to get in touch with you and ask you more about your work, do you have a website that people can come to?
I do. It's www.elizabethclairedeloon.com, and it's Elizabeth with a Z, and CLAIRDELUNE. I also am on Instagram. It's where I post most of my content as well. It'd be a good place to follow me. And it's just the same thing, Elizabeth Claire DeLune, like the song. The last name
right.
is like the song.
Right. Beautiful. You
can find me there.
And if you are enjoying this interview with myself, Salma Morningstar, and Elizabeth, I'll be inviting other guest speakers to talk about this sister wound topic into the Womb-Centered Healing podcast and vlog. So please subscribe, follow. You can also, if you want to talk to me about this topic and other womb-centered healing topics, sister and feminine empowerment topics, you can reach out to me through my website at wombcenteredhealing.com. So thank you so much for joining us today, and many blessings, and we'll talk again soon. Take good care now.